Like, you've got to run your own career. This is not 20 years ago where you'll just get shuffled through the system and hope all works out well. I lived through that. I'm grateful for a lot of things, but that's not where we are today.
You are listening to the Culture Coach Podcast. This is the place where CEOs and people-first leaders come to boost productivity, extinguish burnout, and cultivate a vibrant culture that reflects a fully integrated mission, vision, and core values. Get ready to take your culture to the next level. I am your host, Wendy Brand. Welcome back to the Culture Coach Podcast. It's been a minute. I know I have been MIA for a couple weeks, but it's good to be back with you guys and really excited to bring you this episode today. It's different than some of the other guests that I've had, but I'm excited to share my guest Jennifer Doty's story with you. She's a CPA, turned Fortune 100 vice president, turned tech startup executive, author of two books, speaker, and entrepreneur. Jennifer has built what she calls a portfolio career, and she's doing it all out in the open with her employer's full support. We talk about what it really means to lead with authenticity, how companies can create cultures where people bring their whole selves to work, and the practical advice that she wishes she'd had when her corporate role was eliminated after nearly 20 years. So whether you're a leader trying to build a more trusting culture or an individual wondering if there's room for more in your career, this one's for you. Let's dive in. Welcome back to the Culture Coach Podcast. I'm so excited to have Jennifer Doty with me on today. Jennifer, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Wendy. So happy to be here.
Yes, excited to dive in. It's a really timely topic. I think I just heard that 30,000 employees from Oracle were laid off a couple weeks ago with an email at 6 a.m. Like, corporate America is shifting and changing. And so I think we have a great conversation ahead of us of what our lives can look like with a mix of all different things. So let's start by telling me what kind of about your professional experience, kind of where you've been and where you are now.
Sure, absolutely. So I am a CPA by background. I went to school to learn how to do a thing, not necessarily something that I loved, but I was good at it. You know, I was the oldest of four daughters. My mother said I did really well in school. I studied really hard. And she said to me, please don't come back. There's three more of you. We have to figure out, right? And so I got a job in public accounting, did very well, was bored pretty quick, and then left there after I got certified. I was at Deloitte & Touche in Los Angeles, of all places, after college. I left Boston and went to LA and wow. Then did a couple startups, which was a whole culture shock in and of itself back in those days, and then got myself to MetLife. And, you know, it was an interesting road. I was trying to get myself back to New Jersey personally. I thought I'd do it for a year, Wendy, maybe two, and then I'd move on. And that turned into almost 20 years later. Right. Wow. And so I started in on the insurance side, on the individual side, back in the day on the finance side. And I don't think anybody grows up as a little young human and says, I want to go and be in insurance. It sort of just finds you, right? And so I had a variety of roles over 19 years. I did M&A work. I did acquisitions. I did divestitures. I was a chief of staff to an executive on the executive team, which was a whole different learning exercise about leadership, how you want to lead and how you don't. That was a crash course. And then I spent the last 10 years of my career in the group insurance space. I rolled out products, I led marketing, I had service and implementation. And then ultimately, over the last 3 years of my career, I ran all of operations for the US group business. And that included most of COVID. So it was interesting having 1,400 people all go virtual overnight after we had spent weeks and months of figuring out an A and a B team and who was going to rotate into the office and out. And it never happened. We just all went home one day and never went back. Right. Mm-hmm. And from there, had a great career at MetLife until the moment where I got the phone call after I had delivered the phone call for probably a decade mm-hmm. or more to people in different, you know, reorganizations. And as I say, it's like the love boat. At some point on the Lido deck, the chairs change and you don't have one, right? And so it was my time to leave. And it was probably one of the biggest blessings of my career. I shared with somebody the other day, I might still be there if they hadn't like reorganized and eliminated my role. Right. And so it was a really amazing opportunity to really figure out what my identity was, because 10 years ago, if you asked who Jennifer Doty was, I would have started with my title. Right. I would have started with my title. Right. That's who she was. Right. And so I went my way. I ventured my way, did a lot of work, because when I started at MetLife, there was no LinkedIn. LinkedIn wasn't a thing when I found a job way back then, and I came out and it was an entirely different landscape. I did not have a great network outside of the company. And so I had a lot of work to do, right? And so I got really clear, did a lot of self-development work on what I wanted, how I wanted to feel every single day, and what type of environment did I want to work in? And that annoyed recruiters to no end, because they didn't know what to do with me. And they're like, well, what can you do? I'm like, I'm a Swiss Army knife. I do everything. And they're like, not helpful. You have to pick a thing, right? And so ultimately, I got myself through my network. And your network is like one of the most powerful things. I don't care what job postings are on LinkedIn. Your network, 99% of the time, will get you there. And that's how I got to 3Flow. And I started talking to them before I even left MetLife officially. And 6 months later, they called and they're like, okay, now we have a real job for you. Will you come? And so 3Flow is a platform, it's a technology platform that allows group insurance carriers and brokers to more effectively exchange data for rating and quoting. Because the only other way they do it, Wendy, is email. And that is not a great filing system or storage system, right? And so I've been here 4 years. I started leading our carrier partnerships. And for the last 2 years, I've led our customer operations team, because I'm a glutton for punishment and I'm really good at workflow and process and outsourcing and being efficient and driving, most importantly, what the sales organization needs. Cause I did that for many, many years at MetLife. Like, how can I stand on my head for you and make this better so we're winning in market? Right.
Yeah.
And then fast forward, I also, a year ago, leaned into a second business on the side of my desk. And if you ever told me I'd have a portfolio career, if you told the 30-year-old me that, I would have thought you were crazy, right? But I started a business with Live Pure. It's a supplement nutrition company. I'm a product of the products. I've taken them for almost 10 years now. I know they work. I swear I'm reverse aging. I feel better today than I did at 35. I have more energy. I sleep better. I'm just physically feel better, right? And so I am helping people create businesses as well around this company with the methodology of cleansing, balancing, and building your body. And I'll tell you, it was insane. I got my 1099 in February, first full year of doing the business at all ever, right? And I earned over $70,000 on the side of my desk. So it's really real. It is absolutely real. And you'd be surprised at the people who either have a health thing they're solving for, because anyone 10 years or 15 years older than me or younger than me is trying to figure it out. Or they're like, tell me about how you made that much money. Would you tell me about that? Right. And so people are, it's wise. Like, the billionaires in this country find, you know, this type of business model, a second income stream that can grow over time and you get for life, is really smart, because you never know what's going to happen with your job. Right. And
so, that's right.
Yeah. It's crazy.
And I think in this conversation, after you said your role at 3Flow, it could have, for most people, that's where it stops.
Right.
But you have so much more. You have the business you just described, and what you haven't shared yet is you have 2 books.
Yeah.
Speaking that goes along with that.
Speaking, yes. I do speaking engagements. I started it during COVID, like as a lark, because a friend needed a speaker for a Microsoft, of all things, a virtual Microsoft, global Microsoft conference. And I'm like, I can do that. I mean, I figured out what I would charge. I came up with like slides and an agenda. I'm like, I can do this, right? And so I'm leaning into that. I'm like making that like part of who I am now. I have a website and I'm doing, you know, conversations like this and others, and doing a lot of speaking engagements and workshops for folks, just to help teams and people and organizations get out of their own way. I see it all the time, whether it's individually or as a team. I'm like, we are stuck. You are stuck. You know it. I know it. Like, are we going to do anything about it? Right?
Right.
And how to help people, you know, get past that and drive the outcomes that they're looking for.
And I think had I thought more along those lines 4 years ago when I left corporate without a plan, because I was so burnt out I may be in a different situation today, but I went out on my own with, well, I had a bit of a safety net just from my 401k and, you know, what I had built over the decades of working in corporate, but, I could have been further ahead had I had, you know, had I had that diversity. But I do want to talk about, I mean, the type of culture that 3Flow must have that, I mean, you're not doing this in secrecy, right?
No, I don't do this in secrecy. I remember when I had just started and my first book was coming out. And I remember working with an employment lawyer and she's like, you're putting that in the employment agreement, that all of that is you, all the proceeds are you. She's like, you can't assume that people, you know, and I had to be very forthcoming. And I'm like, I'm coming out with a book. And then I started doing additional speaking engagements. And I remember the first time at the time I've rotated through the founders on who I've reported to. And at the time I reported to the CEO and I remember saying to him, like, listen, are you okay if like I go do this? I'm like, it's a paid thing. And he's like, can you mention us? I'm like, yeah, I mean, we're a startup. The more people that hear about 3Flow and look us up, and you never know who out there is a group insurance carrier or broker and is trying to be more efficient. I'm like, yes, happy to. I'm grateful to be here. And he's like, go ahead, game on. So, I mean, I sat at a sales kickoff meeting every year, and I sat at an exec team, like fireside chat. And I told all the employees that I do more than one thing in front of all my peers. I mean, 15 years ago, I would have never said those words.
Right.
But to be in an environment where that is not only okay, but celebrated and talked about. Right. And people will once in a while be like, what is this Live Pure thing you're doing? And I'm like, I'll send you information. You take a look and you decide if it's for you. Right. And you'd be surprised. Right. At who's looking for better health. Right.
Yeah.
Or a side income on the side of their desk. Right. So it's wonderful. I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful to be here and get to work with the people I do.
That's phenomenal. And I also, what I like about it is your side hustle isn't just another, it's not another job. I mean, it's something related to health and wellness, and it adds to the complete whole you. You know, I shared before we started, like, I just bought sound bowls. I'm so excited. I'm not doing that for money yet, you know, but and I may never, you know, but I think just allowing yourself to broaden your horizons and do things, you know, just that whole complete self, whether that's through your work or hobbies, et cetera, I think that's great. So I'd love to talk a little bit about your books. You have to tell me about them and tell me kind of where they came in your career.
Yeah, absolutely. So the first one is fascinating. So when I started looking for a job, I talked to some recruiters, and I'll never forget this guy, Peter. He was tough love, right? I live in New Jersey, right? And so I get tough love. I'm like, I'm good with candid, direct, no problem. And he checked out my LinkedIn page and he calls me and he's like, so here's the thing. This isn't Facebook. All you do is like stuff. That is not being present. No one's going to find you. You're not visible. He's like, you need to author content. And I like wanted to be sick. I was like, what do you mean? He goes, you have to write something like once, twice a week and put it out there. And I'm like, what on earth do people want to hear from me about? Like, I can't even imagine. I mean, I came from a culture where the only people on LinkedIn were those people looking for a job. So you didn't post in LinkedIn 15 years ago. That was not okay. You looked weird to the rest of the company if you were actively out there, right? Which is so not like it is today, right? And so I said, okay. And I came up with, it took me a minute, and I'll never forget the first post. I really wanted to puke as I sat here and I did it because I was so, I don't know what I was so worried about, right? Probably what people thought. I mean, that's like one of the biggest concerns we all have. What are people thinking about us? They're not thinking that much, truth be told, right? And so I started this series, what they never told me about being a leader. And so it's really about the things that you learn by experience that no book's going to teach you, that no boss is going to teach you. Right. What my boss never told me about being a leader. And so I would post 2-3 times a week. And my dear friend from MetLife, Dave, 2-3 months in, calls me and he's like, you need to put that stuff in a book. And I'm like, what? why? He goes, people will buy that. He's like, this is Jennifer Doty gems of information. And so through my sister, I found an amazing partner in Raleigh, North Carolina. He knows how to lay out books. I didn't know anything about Amazon publishing. It was very inexpensive, right? And so it reads a little bit like a coffee table book. It's a super easy read. It's pictures and a blurb of my thoughts, right? And so that was the first book, and that's called Just Lead, right? What your boss will never teach you, but experience will. And then my second book was all things that are mostly had never been published before, had never been put on LinkedIn. But the second book was called Find the Right Now Role. And that started from the day I got the phone call at MetLife saying, so here's the thing, your job's eliminated and we really appreciate everything. And you're going to get your paperwork in this number of days. And thanks. After a 20-year career, right? Mm-hmm. And what you go through during that entire process, and there's no book, it's like parenting. Nobody really teaches you what to do, right? You got to figure this out, right? And so a lot of it goes from that all the way through like probably the first 30 days of me being at 3Flow and all mm-hmm. of the things I did in between, the tips, like what to do about taxes, what do you do about benefits? Like, you know, that nobody teaches you any of these things. How do you graciously exit a job with your head held high?
Yeah.
When everyone knows your position was eliminated, right? And how do you do that? And then how do you build a network from scratch when you have nothing online, really, right? And how do you make a job out of looking for a job? It's exhausting and overwhelming, right? And some of the tips and things. So that was my second book. And I've had many a person who's lost their job or, you know, been job eliminated or whatever, reach out to me and say, I got your book. And you're really right about all those things and all those feelings that you go through. Yeah.
That book needs to be handed out when people are laid off. Like corporations should buy a surplus of that book and share it when they have to lay people off. I've led those efforts from an HR, from a people, you know, standpoint, organized, project managed, large reductions in force. Yeah. It's not fun, but there are companies that I was at a company that did it well, where we had a job fair for the people that we were letting go. We brought in all the local companies that were hiring to help them in that phase, because you're right. Nobody, you know, no one's expecting it. And then it takes time to process and, you know, and so having a tool like that book, I love that. I think that's great. And I'm going to recommend it to organizations. Yeah. I mean, I think that's great.
It's great.
Wonderful. Well, one of the things that when I talk about culture, I believe that mission, vision, and core values are key to creating an intentional culture because it sets the expectations for employees and what to expect. So like at 3Flow, they probably, if it's not a written core value, the fact that you're able to have a job on the side, there's probably something in kind of the expectations they've set and ways of working that allows you to do that. Are there any along your way, along your career, were there any points where you've seen kind of companies create an intentional culture, leaders in creating an intentional culture inside the organization?
Yeah, I would say 3Flow definitely does that, right? We have core values. You know, when you do reviews and mid-year reviews, year-end reviews, you give examples of where you see people demonstrating those core values. We recently launched, I want to say a couple months ago, I wouldn't call it a value, but it's definitely an intentional culture or culturally driven moment for us, right? Mm-hmm. And we came out with the driver versus passenger mindset and mentality. And we made a decision as an executive team that we needed to see people with driver behavior mm-hmm. and that those people with driver behavior were going to be rewarded and will be here. And those people with passenger behavior, you might be here for a bit, but you're probably not going to be here forever, right? Kind of thing. And so it's really that mindset about, you know, the drivers see what needs to be done, get it done, whether it's your job or not. right? Lean in, open their mouth, have an opinion, offer input, support their team members, right? Versus a passenger is going along for the ride. And it's like, I call it alligator arms. Like they're not looking to do more than is like necessary, right? I'm right here doing my job. And then I'm going to shut my laptop. At MetLife, we used to say back in the day before we did a couple transformations is there were too many places for people to hide. Because I had a huge organization back in those days. And you could hide. You could hide for years, right? I mean, we did away with that and we changed a lot of things. So like there really wasn't anywhere to hide. There was greater accountability. But I love this new mindset that we've intentionally set. Mm. And I'll tell you, not everybody loved it when we launched it. There were people who were like, thank God, I've been waiting for this because they probably were drivers to begin with, right?
Right.
And then there were people like, what are you doing? This is not, you know, how the company has been run for this many years. Well, guess what? You're probably a passenger if you don't like it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so that was fascinating.
That's such a great example. Because what you're doing is you're articulating what the expectation is, and it's not right or wrong. Like what I think is so important for organizations to realize too, is that, because there are companies that want to be hierarchical and they want you to be a passenger. They want to just dictate and tell. And so for them, that's the right structure and the right expectation. But especially in tech companies and fast moving companies, that they need thinkers and innovators. And so being intentional about that expectation, and then the people that don't like it, that's a perfect time for them to look for other jobs move on.
So
right. Good. Yeah, exactly. Love that. And then what about, you know, in your book, in the Just Lead, tell me about mentorship as a culture strategy. So is that something that you promote, mentorship?
Absolutely. I mean, I pride myself in how I lead my team and even the people who don't report to me, like just how I lead in general, right? And so I had a couple conversations with my boss and he's like, do you pay people to say nice things about you? Because they can't really be this happy. Like, are they really this happy with you? Right. And I learned from so many great leaders and some ones I never want to be like along the way. Right. But I've learned from so many great leaders, just what matters. Right. And so I've also learned through a lot of therapy and a lot of personal development, right? Lead with what you're worried about. If you have to start a really uncomfortable conversation, say it. You know what? This is really hard for me to like say out loud, but I know we need to talk about it. And I'm worried. I'm worried. Fill in the blank. I'm worried you're going to be mad at me. I'm worried you're going to be upset. I'm worried I'm going to offend you. Right. You lead with what you're worried about. And then you like go through the conversation. Right. But like to your point, from a mentorship standpoint, you need to do that every day. It is not a twice a year thing where you give somebody a review in June and then another one at the end of the year. You need to be coaching them all the way through. And I'll never forget at MetLife, we used to say, we had a rating scale, right? It was like, you know, does not meet, meets, exceeds, whatever. We went through 1 to 5, all these different things. And if you got somebody to the end of the year and they were a does not meet and it was a surprise, it was a failure of you as a manager.
Right.
Like people should know every day where they're at. And I remember having some leaders who I would never know where I was with this person. And I finally had to have the courage to ask and be like, and this guy, I mean, this is old school insurance. And I'll never forget. I was working on divestiture and this guy was tough. I was still in finance. And this guy didn't give me an inch, Wendy. I didn't know if I was like basically individual contributor running the divestiture. So there was no team. There was like nobody. It was like me and him. So like every 2 weeks I'd be like, hey, how am I doing? Are you like good with what? Like, are you okay? Am I meeting your expectations? Because he would give me nothing. Right. And so it works both ways. Right. I think as leaders, we really need to mentor and coach all the time. But if you're listening and you're someone who's like, my person does not coach me ever, we never have a conversation, then it's on you to open your mouth and ask for the feedback.
Yes.
It's a two-way street. And yes, I'd argue it's 60-40. It's really 40 on the manager and 60 on you.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to run your own career. This is not 20 years ago where you'll just get shuffled through the system and hope all works out well. I lived through that. I'm grateful for a lot of things, but that's not where we are today.
No. We're getting near the end where we're going to wrap up. And there've just been so many great nuggets in this conversation. And so I'd love to hear from you. It's really twofold, I think, because we've talked about everything, you know, from being an authentic leader and creating a culture where, you know, employees can have side hustles to being someone who has side hustles. So I'd love to hear from you from both a leadership perspective. Like, what would you say to leaders? Let's do this first. What would you say to leaders on how to create the type of culture where there's such trust, where you can have a team that has side hustles? Like, how do you build that type of organization?
Yeah. For me, I start by modeling it and I don't hide what I do.
Yeah.
I don't hide what I do. I tell people when I've earned an incentive trip and I'm taking a day off. I was just in Cancun and they're like, "You're where?" I'm like, "Yeah, I earned a trip with Live Pure. It's awesome. Free travel's amazing." And so I don't hide it and I model it. Or, you know, yesterday I was doing a one-on-one with somebody and she's like, "What are you doing? Like, what are you up to?" And I'm like, "Well, I have a Live Pure meeting. This was last night. I have a Live Pure meeting tonight and I have a gig this weekend." And she's like, "You're always so busy. You're always doing everything." And I'm like, "Yeah, that's my life. I do a lot of different things." So I start by modeling what I do in my life, right? And so I think if you're a leader who's already doing those things, the other thing I laugh about is back in the day, you know, people had side hustles. You didn't call it that. It was a rental property.
Yeah.
It was a VRBO down the shore or somewhere in Florida, and you rented it out and you were making money, but you don't talk about those things, Wendy. Right. Why would you speak about that? Right. And so I think modeling it and, or, you know, asking people like, what are the things you do outside of here? Like, what gets you fired up? Right. What's exciting to you? And so at Threefold, we do a lot of modeling, right? We share when we've launched something or we're doing something new.
Okay. I love that. And then as an individual in feeling, you know, and maybe it depends on the organization, but if you weren't at Threefold, I mean, I guess what advice would you give people that they're not sure maybe what their leaders would say or what their organization would say, but they want to do that side hustle? How would they get started?
So I think it starts with, it's funny because I've met with so many people who were like, "I was looking for a thing," right? Mm. And these are a lot of former or former MetLife people, right? That they were looking for a thing, right?
Yeah.
And I think finding something you're passionate about and something that inspires you, right? I've had people ask me if I was looking for another company to partner with and do business with, what do I look for, right? I think it's three things. It's the product or the service. You better be passionate about it or it's not going to be exciting to you. I don't care if it's coffee, if it's nutrition, whatever that is, dog grooming, whatever it is, you better be passionate about what it is and really believe in that for a reason. The second is the leadership matters. The company matters. The people that you partner with matters, because if you're looking to make an income out of it and build, you know, something that's substantial. I mean upwards of 5 and 6 figures, right? Like a substantial income. You better be partnering with the right individuals and people who are there to advocate and support you. And I'm really grateful with Live Pure. I partner with the most amazing leaders. I mean, I've worked with some incredible people, but these people are like in my top 5, top 10 from a support standpoint, right? Mm-hmm. And then lastly, it's the training and the support mechanism. And I've heard about other companies where they just signed you up as a business owner and then nobody tells you what to do. No one. And I'm like, "Well, how did you know on that other company how to sell that thing? Like, nobody told me. I didn't know. And so you basically don't do anything because you don't know how to do it. But what I love about Live Pure is we have an app, we have a training module, we have people who like support you and teach you what to say word for word. And what I always say is, I would not be doing this if it was hard. It's got to be easy because I have a day job and I don't want another day job. So you got to find the support mechanism to make it a 30-minute a day exercise.
Right.
Because yeah. No one wants a 4-hour a day part-time job. We all work. Right. We're good. Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful. Such great advice. Jennifer, this has been such a great conversation. Thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Wendy. Such a pleasure speaking with you. Really enjoy it.
That's it. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you'll come back and listen to another episode. If anything that Jennifer shared resonated with you, check out her books, Just Lead and Find the Right Now Role. Especially that second one, if you or someone you know is navigating a job transition, it honestly should be handed out in every layoff package. As always, if you've enjoyed today's episode, please share it with someone who needs to hear it. Leave a review and come find me. I'd love to hear what's lighting you up outside of your 9-to-5. Until next time, take care. Have a great week.